I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Time to go on the money with Chris DeSimio and Larry Baker, senior partner at Grant Thornton in Cincinnati.
A rather challenging week on Wall Street last week. The market climbing actually through most of the early part of the week, only to have some ominous warnings be sounded. First on Wednesday with the ADP employment figures, then Thursday with the first-time claims for unemployment, both coming in a little lower than expectations, and then yesterday. Markets had expected that non-farm payrolls would have grown by 193,000. They came in at 88,000, and within a heartbeat, the futures went from a minus 20 to a minus 150. Another challenging week then again on Wall Street. Well, it is that time of year. It is tax time, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Larry Baker, who is a certified public accountant. No stranger here in these parts. Larry has been practicing accounting since 1977. He is the leader of tax practice at the Cincinnati office of Grant Thornton. He is a partner at the firm, and his face appears and graces the pages of both the Cincinnati Business Courier and the Inquirer on weighing in on tax topics. And Larry, thanks for taking part of your weekend to be here.
No problem, Chris. Glad to do it.
It's been a long time. It's so good to see you.
Right, right. It has been a long time.
Many years.
Exactly.
So we get this new tax law starting January 1, 2013. People are right now up to their elbows in 2012 tax returns. How is the tax filing season progressing from your experience, and what are people having problems with this year that they didn't have last year?
Well, I think one of the things that really impacted this filing season, as you've probably read about, is the fact that with so many of the law changes taking place, you know, really after the end of 2012 but still having an impact on 2012, it really required the IRS to go back and redo some programming and some other types of things to where they really weren't accepting some types of more complex returns till well into February.
Even if you were ready.
Right. Even if you were ready, they weren't ready. And now I think they've caught up on that. I think the continued increased use of electronic filing, you know, helps speed up the process, helps taxpayers get back their refunds much quicker, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they did get off to a little bit of a rocky start this year.
This is the first year that a lot of taxpayers are coming up with this new form on cost basis, whereas before investment firms never needed to report cost basis. And some now are to comply, and some securities are, within parentheses, covered and others are not covered. Has that been a big issue for some of your clients?
You know, it can be, but I think in most cases we've seen where clients have been with their securities firm for some period of time that they do have good basis records. And so, you know, the information that we're getting for preparation of their returns is really, in most cases, pretty complete.
Yeah. What if somebody just doesn't know? If Grandma Tilly gave them 5 shares of Procter & Gamble that she'd bought 100 years ago and gave it to little Billy as a graduation gift, and now suddenly he sold it last year, is the IRS really looking hard at that? Or, I mean, what should someone do if they just don't know what they paid, what was paid for?
Yeah, that can be a challenge depending on the magnitude and the dollars that you're talking about. But, you know, if there is some reasonable time frame the transfer was made, I mean, in many cases, you know, you can find access to data that would tell you approximately what that stock might have been worth, you know, at that particular point in time. But that doesn't necessarily get you to the bottom line because, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to consult a professional, a CPA or attorney in the tax area, because you have to also look and see what the gift tax rules were at that particular point in time and whether basis carried over. Which, again, looking at market data at that point in time won't necessarily give you the answer. So it can be a little bit of a problem. In most cases, I think taxpayers that are making a reasonable attempt at determining what that value might have been or what the transfer value was at that particular point in time and have some support relative to that, I think are putting themselves in a better stead than they might otherwise if they're just kind of winging it and just kind of guessing what it might have been or saying it's, you know, it's this amount per share or whatever.
Sure. Now, your firm, Grant Thornton, put out a really handy tax planning tips for businesses and individuals. And it's really useful because it actually comes in the form of frequently asked questions. And these happen to be questions that are being frequently asked of people in
right.
The investment world. In terms of what people can do to reduce their 2012 tax liability if it's not too late. What kind of advice are you rendering there?
Well, you know, again, it is kind of after the fact to a degree, but there are a couple items out there that people can still take advantage of. And one, as you and I both know, is if they have an IRA or if they set up an IRA and contribute to that IRA up to the allowable amount, which is $5,000 typically, or you can add an additional $1,000 to that if you're over 50 and kind of a makeup contribution. Mm-hmm. As long as that is done by April 15th, even if you extend your return, you have to have that contribution to the IRA made by that date.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that can happen. And then in other people's cases, they might have health savings accounts that do provide some deductibility for high premium cost plans that will in some cases allow them to even make contributions up to April 15th and actually have them apply to 2012.
Okay.
So that's another item that isn't frequently thought about, but is out there.
I think, as you pointed out in your tax planning tips, if you converted part of your traditional IRA to a Roth IRA and incurred a tax liability as a result, you do have until what day to unwind that transaction?
Typically, it's an extended due date, or in this case, if you're not extending, it would be up to April 15th. If you're filing it on a timely basis.
Okay.
So as you say, for example, if originally you designated something from the IRA going into the regular IRA into the Roth, and now you determine that maybe it's better to flip it back over.
You said, whoops,
yeah.
Too much.
Then it's kind of interesting that you do have some of that capability to do that. But you got to be careful because you can't play that game, you know, just back and forth all the time. There are some restrictions that will ultimately catch you.
Okay. 2013, Larry, as again pointed out in the Grant Thornton tax season planning tips, you referred to this new Medicare tax on certain kinds of income for certain kinds of taxpayers. What is the new Medicare surtax? Who is affected by it, and what is that effect? Three questions all at once.
Right, right. Well, you'll note in my answer that you're gonna kind of hear these magical numbers that we've been hearing for many months, especially during the election and prior to that, about increases in revenue, and that's this $200,000 mark for single filers and $250,000 mark for joint filers. And where that comes into play here is that first, with respect to earned income.
This is wages and compensation.
Correct.
Pension income too?
No, this would just be on earned income per se.
Not money coming out of IRAs.
Right. Right.
Simply earnings.
Right. Okay. So on the Medicare, because it's a Medicare tax,
aha, okay.
Effectively. Okay. That's what both of these are.
Okay.
And therefore, they're not deductible, obviously, like your normal
okay.
taxes, but unless you're self-employed. But the Medicare tax on the individual, on the employee's portion of the tax will go up by 0.9%.
Okay.
Okay. And that's for earned income levels that exceed those limits that I mentioned, the 250 single, 250, 200,000 for single, 250 for joint filers. So
okay.
That kind of kicks in when you get over that level, and employers will be required to withhold that just as they would any normal income taxes or other Medicare or Social Security taxes that are paid.
Okay. So your withholding goes up if your income exceeds those levels.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, the other one that is also applies, and it's at those same levels of $200,000 and $250,000.
For single and joint.
Right. But these are pegged at your adjusted gross income, not your earned income.
Okay.
Right? So if you are a taxpayer or a married couple who goes over those limits, those AGI limits, adjusted gross income, then you are going to pay 3.8% additional tax on your investment income.
Okay. So adjusted gross income, AGI, includes then not your wages and compensation plus investment income from interest, dividends, any kind of businesses that you might own.
Right, exactly. So this 3.8%, for example, the typical investment income would be capital gains, dividend, interest. But it also applies to rents,
okay,
royalties. And here's kind of the sleeper in this whole thing. It also applies to business income if the income attributed to that individual is passive activity income.
So if you own a farm somewhere, you don't do any work, you got a guy who's actually out there on the tractor doing all the work for you, passive income, that's still going to show up and cause you to pay an additional 3.8% tax on that income if, in fact, your income exceeds 200 or 250, depending on whether you're single or
right. And this whole passive test is can be complicated. For example, you give one example. Another example would be individuals invested in partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
There is a business inside that partnership, but it's got different types of investors. It's got those who are very active.
The general partners.
Right. And it has maybe limited partners that are just pure investors. And so, again, this particular tax is going to come into play, relative to that type of passive income, which is, again, I don't think it's not something that, given the newness of this, even though it was kind of a part of the 2010 Affordable Health Care Act,
mm-hmm.
and, more and more people have started to talk about this. We've done some webinars on this and some other things where this was the whole topic and subject matter of the webinar.
Wow. 2013. Stay tuned. Operators are standing by. Larry Baker from Grant Thornton. I want to thank you so much for being with us this Saturday morning.
Thanks, Chris.
And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimeo on The Money.